excellent greatness today. Thank you, Father, for your spirit and your power, for your people, Lord Jesus, for the church, oh God. We thank you. Hallelujah, 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 Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorious God, glorious God. If we could start this service out in prayer right now, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that we want you to have your way today, Lord Jesus. Not our will today. Father, your will be done in the name of Jesus. Father, we're here to please you, Lord Jesus, to seek after you, Lord Jesus, to seek your will, to seek your peace, O God, to seek, O God, and to hear a word from heaven today. Father, we've already heard, O God, from your throne room. Lord Jesus, we want you to be in complete control of every aspect of everything that we're doing, O God. You have already given us life and health and breath and your peace and your joy. You've already made us to be your vessels of honor today. Hallelujah, Lord. It's in you that we live and move and have our being today. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God. We love you, Jesus, with a love, oh God. We return that love to you that you gave to us, Lord. You loved us and gave yourself for us. The very least we could do is to love you back. Lord, I love you today. I thank you today for saving me and delivering me today. And every day, Lord Jesus, I can depend on you today to be my God today in the name of Jesus. We thank you today. Thank you for your goodness and mercy and your grace, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Oh yeah. Just praising the Lord. Let's sing that one more time. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. And we're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. We're just praising the Lord. Let's sing it again. We're together again. Oh, yes, we are. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Oh, just praising the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We want to create an atmosphere for you to enter into this place and move and worship, oh God. We want to create an atmosphere for you, God, to move in this place. We want to create an atmosphere, oh God, for you to move in this place. For you to have your way in this place, oh God. Not my will, Lord Jesus. Not my way, Lord Jesus. Your will be done. Your kingdom come today and every day in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Let's not forget our reboot recovery again this Thursday. So far, it's going great. Amen. God is bringing the people that need to be here. So let's continue to lift that up in prayer, that God will move, that they'll feel the presence of God in this place. Amen. Men's camp registration and family camp registration start on May 1. Amen. And the family camp deadline is June 1. Also, Section 4 Unity Rally, May 18th from 1 to 3 at Christ the Rock Church in Stevens Point. Amen. Also, ladies' ministry, ladies' retreat, May 2nd through the 4th. A lot going on. And then the final announcement this morning is Mother's Memorial Offering is due on June 2nd. Amen. I love Mother's Memorial. If it wasn't for a missionary being in a foreign country, I wouldn't be in Truth today. And that missionary needed that Mother's Memorial money to be there so that they could be there when I got there. And so I'm so thankful. Personally and otherwise for Mother's Memorial. Amen. Well, I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't care what people say. I'm gonna praise Him anyway. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. I don't care what people say. I'm gonna praise Him anyway. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't care what people say. I don't praise Him anyway. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't care what people say. I'm gonna praise Him anyway. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we call on His great name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Well, in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, the awesome name of Jesus, demons will have to, they gotta go. Oh, tell me who can stand before us when we call on His great name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory only in His name. Well, in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, the awesome name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Stand before us when we call on His great name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Let's love the name of Jesus this morning, Lord Jesus. We love You, we honor You, we worship You. We magnify You, we glorify You. Your ways are perfect, O God. They are past finding out. You're my Savior and my healer, my deliverer. You're my shepherd, my shield and my defense, Jesus. You're my everything, Jesus, and I love You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I give You the highest praise. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh, there's just something about that name. You're my Master, my Savior, my Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away. Oh, but there's something about that name. Jesus, the devil hates it when we keep saying that name. Jesus. Something about, oh yeah, there's something about it, all right. Oh, You're my Master, You're my Savior, You're my Jesus. You're like a fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Oh, that kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Let's worship Him one more time, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. Your Master, Your Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. We just take a moment to love Him and worship Him right now, Jesus. Oh, we're not interested, oh God, in our agenda, Lord Jesus. Our agenda can wait on You, Jesus. We're here to wait on You, Jesus. We're here to love You, Jesus, and honor You and praise You, Lord, with our lips, with our hearts, with our soul, with our mind, with our very being, oh God. Lord Jesus, all I can think about is praising You. Lord, You've given me breath to praise You with. You've given me a mind and a clear conscience, oh God. You've given me Your peace and Your joy. You've given me everything, oh God. The very least I can do is lift praise and glory and honor to You in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, have Your way in this place, Lord. Have Your way in this place, Lord. We want You to have Your way, Lord. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to get me out of the way, Lord, that You can minister, Lord, into my spirit. Lord, give us a heart and a soul and a mind to receive, oh God. Oh Lord, have Your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh Jesus, You're so mighty. You are so wonderful, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we love You today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. To the book of Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read the first 20 verses, and then I'll let you be seated. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Amen. If you're there, say amen. Everybody should say amen because it's right there. Hallelujah. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But it is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Who decides when it's time? The Father. Amen? Even so we. I love how Paul just makes these analogies and comparisons like this. Because we are God's children. We really are. We're His sons. Amen. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son in God's timing. When God was ready, when it was according to His plan, He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in the exact way that it was supposed to happen. Lowly and in a manger. That's exactly how it was supposed to happen. We're not supposed to understand it. We're just supposed to say, there you go. He said it way back there it was going to happen. A child's to be born and a son's to be given. And what do you know? There he is. Hallelujah. And why did He do all that? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Every one of us in this room is adopted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Everything's through Christ. Amen? Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, isn't it much more important that He knows who we are? I mean, I can walk around and go around and tell everybody I know God, but does God acknowledge me? Because Jesus even said in the book of Matthew that in the last days that He's going to say to some, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want that to be said of me. I don't want it to be said that he never, that I didn't have a relationship with him to the point where he would say, I don't know who you are. Hallelujah. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Paul's right. This is a letter. Pastor talked about the letter that John wrote to the churches in the book of Revelation. It's nothing more than a letter. Paul, all of these epistles that we read are letters to the churches from people like Paul who loved the people of God, the things of God, the work of God. He didn't just write a letter because he didn't have anything else to do. I mean, he was in prison. But still, there was something more to writing these letters than just sitting down and writing a letter. There was a lot of thought and a lot of who Paul was in God that was going into these letters. He was writing them for a reason, not just so we'd have a book to read. Ye observe days and months and times and years, religious observations, religious observances and traditions. That's what he was talking about. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. You ever spent a lot of time trying to minister to somebody and win them to the Lord, and you spend all that time and they just turn around and walk away? You feel like you just spent all that time, money, and effort in vain? This is how Paul felt. He's just like us. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. We're all in this boat. We're all in this thing together. There's no big I's and little U's, Paul say. We're all in this together. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first or in the past. So Paul must have been sick when he was preaching the gospel to them. And he says, my temptation, my trial, my test, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected. But, wow, the people of God were so, they were so involved and had so much zeal that it says here, they received me as an angel of God, even as of Christ. Where is then the blessedness that ye spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them unto me. Wow. Now that's dedication right there. And Paul's writing this letter to the church, and he's asking them, what happened to that zeal that you had? I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Ever had somebody tell you something that was true that you didn't want to hear, and they knew you and you knew you didn't want to hear it, but you had to hear it anyway? It's a tough place to be in. There's that word. Who are they? We're going to talk about who they are. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children in the church, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Wasn't the first time he had done this. He said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be before your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. They were the religious Judaizers and the teachers of that day. Okay? Because just because the New Testament church started on the day of Pentecost didn't mean that the devil just stopped working. And it didn't mean that those Jews that had been in power for all of those centuries and decades didn't just turn around and walk away and say, oh, well, such is life. This New Testament church is in place. Let's just go play with our marbles somewhere else. That's not what happened. And so these Judaizers didn't stop. If you read all these letters in the New Testament, you'll find that Paul and the other writers were constantly addressing the fact that these religious traditions were still trying to make their way back into the New Testament church. They were sneaking guys into the New Testament churches as little spies to see what they were teaching and to try to woo some of them away from it. Because he said they zealously affect you. They'll come in with some wise words and they'll sound all prophetic and they'll sound all great and wonderful, and they're trying to just draw you back away from this truth and this love and this thing that we have, this New Testament salvation. They didn't have honorable motives, these people. And this didn't just happen in a vacuum. This happens today. We're still the church, aren't we? Aren't we still the New Testament church? Same act, Book of Acts, New Testament church? Yes, we are. So none of this has changed. The enemy's not gone away. We don't have this little bubble around us where the enemy can't bother us, do we? No, we don't. How often have you ever heard a principle or something taught and ministered and you had to hear it more than once before the light came on? There's been some stuff in my life that some stuff, it's like the light's just now coming on. And that's not necessarily a reflection on me. Could be that God knows when He's ready to open my mind and open my understanding to receive that level of revelation. Because Paul didn't receive all the revelation that he had when he talked about his thorn in the flesh right away. God had to work on him little bit by little bit. Right? Here a little and there a little, the Bible says. So there's been some things in our life, in our walk with God, that there's some stuff I still don't get. But by grace, God's grace and mercy, He's going to show it to me. Because I'm seeking Him. I want to know. Doesn't the Bible say if we lack knowledge, to ask? So it's okay to ask, God, can I know about this? Could you show me this? And He might not. But I'm going to... You know, ask and keep on asking, right? Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Paul, at the direction of the Holy Ghost, was yet writing these letters to the churches for a reason. He loved the people of God. He couldn't be everywhere at once. He couldn't be in Ephesus and Colossae and Galatia. He couldn't be in all these places, and sometimes he was in prison, so he couldn't be in any of those places. But he was getting word that some stuff was going on in the churches. These religious people were coming in and trying to upset the apple cart and to usurp what God had done on the day of Pentecost. And just like God speaks to people today, I believe that the Holy Ghost spoke to Paul and told him, just like he told Moses on the mountain, hey, there's some stuff going on down there that's not right. Moses, stop what you're doing, go down there and deal with that. I believe that God spoke to Paul in the same way. And so he's writing this letter to the church in Galatia because there's just some shenanigans and some stuff going on that Paul needs to address. And Paul didn't just go out there and start a church and say, there you go, there you have it. You're on your own. See ya. Have a nice life. No. He stayed involved with the work of God. Because he knew, just like today, Paul knew that that church was the future. Paul knew that he wasn't going to be around much longer. Somehow I just feel like Paul knew he was closer to death than he was to moving on and being in the kingdom. And so he was trying to equip people as much and as quickly and as possibly as he could. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 in the Amplified says this, I am surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turned renegade and deserting him who invited you and called you by the grace, unmerited favor of Christ, the Messiah, that you are transferring your allegiance to a different or even opposition gospel. Because these religious guys, these Judaizers, they were trying to bring some stuff in that didn't match with what God had told them to do in the New Testament church. They were trying to go back to the old way. Not that there are or could be any other genuine gospel, but there are obviously some who are troubling and disturbing and bewildering you with a different kind of teaching, which they offer as a gospel, and want to pervert and distort the gospel of Christ the Messiah into something which is absolutely is not. But even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you any gospel contrary to and different from that which we preach to you, let him be accursed, anathema, devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment. Verse 9, as we said before, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from that, contrary to that which you received from us, let him be accursed, anathema, devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment. So these letters to the churches, he was trying to get their attention. He was trying to call them out on some things, if you will. At one point, Paul even had to address an issue that Peter was having when he was sitting with a bunch of Gentiles and fellowshipping and Gentile believers and Peter, and all of a sudden the Jews walked in the room and Peter suddenly changed his whole persona and started acting like a Jew again. And started kind of pushing the Gentiles away. And if you read in the book of Galatians, I believe it's in Galatians or it might be in 2 Timothy, Paul, he pretty much addresses the thing in front of everybody. And he just basically dresses him down. Because it's not about this, Peter. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the New Testament church. This is the new covenant. And you can't just keep going back and forth. You can't stay on this side of the fence and then jump over on this side of the fence. And so I believe that what God was trying to tell the church in Galatia was basically the same thing. There's some stuff going on, and I'm trying to help you guys be alert and be aware that there are factions that are going to try to disrupt what you're doing. There are people in this world today, right now, if they could get you to just like Demas did, if they could get you to turn and walk away, they would. If they thought they could do it, they would do it, and they would go after it with a vengeance to try to get you to forsake this truth and go just live any way you want. There are factions out there right now. All the more reason we cannot let our guard down. Just like you said this morning, we've got to make a decision and a choice every day, because every day the enemy's going to come at us from another direction. He's going to try to get us, it happened to Demas, having loved this present world, the Bible says. And that was the one that Paul mentioned. I'm quite certain there were many others that after being in this for a while, just said, you know, this is not for me. Went on back to being a Jew or whatever. Wherever they went, they just decided this wasn't for them. They made a choice. Paul wasn't making the choice for people when he wrote these letters, was he? These people, those 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, made their choice. They made a choice. Nobody was making them do that. There was a multitude, the Bible said, there was a multitude there that day. Only 3,000. And I believe that it was 3,000 was like 1%. That's just my math, okay? If it's scripturally something else, please let me know that, because I don't know it all. But it was a small number by comparison to the overall group. But 3,000 people said, count me in. I'm not ashamed. I'm going to sing. I don't care what people say. I'm going up there with the other 2,999, and I'm going to get baptized in Jesus' name. And I don't care what people say. And all these people that Paul was writing to were all a bunch of new converts. How many remember being a new convert? Not been in church very long. I mean, you've addressed several things. And I've been sitting back there to myself going, amen, I remember that. Yep, amen, I remember thinking that too. Yep, I was there too. Because we didn't know it all. I didn't even know the songs. I just stood there and said watermelon until I learned the songs. Right? I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was doing, right? I'm so thankful for a pastor that would call me out and say, what does Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? First couple times I had no clue. And I also had no clue what he was doing when he was doing that. He was helping me. Because the third time he asked me that, I popped right up like popcorn and I quoted it verbatim. He was helping me. And that's what Paul was doing with these letters. He was trying to encourage the church. And sometimes encouragement came in the way of rebuke. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere in the New Testament that the scriptures are good for that? For rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? Doesn't it say that? Isn't that what Paul was doing? Yeah, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God anointed. It's God breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, the servant, the saint, the saved individual may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We didn't get it all the first day, folks. You didn't receive all revelation when you came out of the water in Jesus' name. The minute you spoke in tongues, you didn't know all scripture. You didn't understand it all. You understood very little, as a matter of fact. But what you did understand was that I needed to be saved. And this is the steps that I need. And I'm willing to stand up and count myself in as part of that group. And God took us from there. And God's always used his vessels. He's always used the prophets. He's always used people like Moses and Abraham and Daniel. And he's always used men to proclaim what he's trying to say to his people. And there was even people in the church that challenged Paul and the other men, Titus and others. They challenged him like the people of God challenged Moses. Who do you think you are, Paul? I'm paraphrasing. That's basically what they said. Do you think you're the only one that has revelation? Do you think you're the only one that can preach? And Paul's like, boys, you don't want to go there. Paul was the one that said that he was the chiefest of sinners. Paul was the one that said, the only reason I'm an apostle is because he made me that. I'm not boasting in that. He was speaking in the book of 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, and he said this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. That Logos, that forever settled word, preach it, proclaim it. He wasn't talking about this that I'm doing right here. He was telling them to go out, just like the people were in that day. They were going from house to house, preaching, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming, talking about their testimony. Here's what God did for me. Here's what God can do for you. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Who's he telling this to? He's telling us to do this, is he not? With all long suffering or patience and respect for those being ministered to and doctrine. Be respectful. Approach the ministry of the word to somebody, remembering where he dug you out of. I'm talking about being molded into his image. Paul, didn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? And so Paul was allowing himself, he was being pliable in the hands of God like that clay, and he was allowing himself to be molded and made into the image of the one that talked to him on that road to Damascus. And he understood that's what needed to happen in order for him to do the ministry that God called him to do. He had to remain pliable. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Some people, we're just going to have to let them walk away. They don't want to hear it. You know, some people are just going to say, you know, we can't build a church without compromise. And we're just going to have to let them just go down that road. And we can do what it says. We can rebuke, reprove, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But some people are just going to, they're going to have closed ears. He said, they will turn their ears from the truth. They'll willingly do that. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine myself doing that. Why would I do that? This thing is so wonderful and so precious. Why would I turn my ears off to it? Doesn't make any sense, but it's going to happen. It says so right here. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18 says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Every one of us had a veil over our heart before we came to truth. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There came a day where the veil was taken away. Remember when the veil was rent in twain? That same scripture that I just read in the Amplified says it this way, but whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is emancipation from bondage, freedom. Because we were in bondage, folks. Our minds and our body, everything about us was in bondage to sin. We had no way of fighting against that temptation to sin. We had no Holy Ghost. We had no, God wasn't there to help us. We were just on our own. We were a mess. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being, I love this part right here, are constantly being transfigured unto his very own image in ever increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. We are going through a transformation even as we sit here in this room today. The transformation has not stopped. He's still transforming us. It's just like the guy I was telling you all about that wrote that book in 1980-something or another and went back a couple years ago and read his book and had to disagree with some things that he said in his own book. Because we go through phases and places in our life where our thoughts about things change. Our attitudes about things change. Young people, I'm here to encourage you. How you think about something now in 10 years, it's not going to be that way. You're going to think a totally different way if the Lord tarries that long. And as you get older, it just, you're just like I was saying before about we haven't received all understanding, wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. So as God gives that to you and begins to give you understanding as you grow older, as you grow wiser, hopefully, as you spend more time drawing close to Him and seeking His face, He's going to begin to open things up to you that you didn't know back then in 84 when you wrote that book. It's not that you were wrong. That's just all he had for that time. So we haven't arrived. No, I like what you said this morning. Our robes are up there on a hanger. They haven't been issued yet. We haven't gone through the issue line at boot camp. Next, handing you your gear, and you're just like, where do I put all this stuff? Put it in your duffel bag. Uh-oh, that thing's getting heavy too. Paul spoke that. I believe that he spoke those words from deep within his heart when he said that he was travailing in birth again till Christ was formed in the church. I'm writing, if I can paraphrase and just say it how I think he meant it, he was just like something in him was just, he was just toiling over the fact that there was somebody out there that was trying to mess with the church of Jesus Christ. And he was doing everything he could humanly do possible to write them a letter, to get their attention, to hopefully somebody will hear this and listen, and we won't lose another one. And this, the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes, right? So this stuff that Paul wrote as letters back in the day that we call books of the Bible was still written to us, just like that was written to Daniel. And he told Daniel, that's not for you. Just write it and put it to the side. It's for somebody else. Well, this is for us, folks. We are the church. We are the last end time church. We are it. That's what I believe. I believe we're the end time church. And so some of this stuff is for us right now. And God is trying in these last days to get our minds off of all the external stuff that doesn't matter. Stuff is going to happen. Who killed President Kennedy doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't get sucked into that stuff. Don't let yourself get pulled into all this stuff. Because all that is the enemy just trying to draw you away from your attention away just for a second. Only for a second. And if you're not looking at him, if you're not making yourself pliable and staying on the wheel and making yourself able to continue to be formed, you're going to miss out on something. And Paul doesn't want you to miss out on something. Romans 1, 8 through 12 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Oh my goodness, what's the testimony of this church? What's the testimony of the church of Jesus Christ? Do they talk about our faith throughout the whole world? For God is my witness when I serve, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul was devoted to the church of Jesus Christ. That's all he thought about. He ate, slept, and drank the church of Jesus Christ. That's why he wrote these letters. That's why it didn't matter to him. That's why he counted those things as dung for the excellency of serving Jesus Christ. All of his pedigree and all of his stuff, and he could have gone places in life, and he gave all that up for the gospel. And he counted it but dung. But if you don't know what dung is, it's that stuff that the dog leaves on the sidewalk. In case you don't know that. Hair, yes. Among other things. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. For without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. That's all Paul thought about. What's the next time I get to go minister to the people of God and encourage them to stay strong in the faith? Don't let this stuff come in and draw you away. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. I want to be established. I want to be established. I want to be in his hands all the time. Put that picture back up there. I want to be that pot right there. I want to be in his hands all the time. Him being molding me into his image. He's not done yet. We're not done. We're not a finished product. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Again, Paul saying, folks, I'm not the big I and you're just the little you, but we're all in this together. I'm in prison, you're not. But I'm not going to be always around, so I need you guys to stay strong in the faith. Not just going through all the religious exercises. Don't let that stuff get into your church. Don't let that stuff get into your head. Keep your mind on where your mind's supposed to be, on Him. Matthew 6:33, quote it. Perfect. Give them a blue ribbon. Matthew 6:33 is a very important scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Period. And everything else will be added unto you. Just seek His kingdom. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Don't worry about if you don't have stuff. Maybe, I heard this guy the other day, maybe we don't have stuff because God knows if we had stuff, it would take over our mind and we would have, our stuff would be more important to us than Him. So some people He knows can't deal with having stuff, so He doesn't let them have stuff. Does that make sense? Does He know what we have need of? I believe the Bible says He does. Even before we ask. And He knows what we don't have need of either. He knows what it takes to keep us on that wheel. And what happens when that guy, when those hands on that wheel run into a rock or stone or something? Some impurity, some imperfection. Because we all have them. I'll never forget that message that was preached when I was a young, new convert. Marred, and He made it again. Because the Bible says He takes and starts all over. I want Him to, if He's got to just deform me and make me look different so that He can make me look the way He wants me to be, then so be it. And it's not going to be fun. I thank you for saying all that. It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to feel good. Matter of fact, sometimes it's going to feel downright bad. You're going to be like, what in the world? Where? Why am I going through this? Because you need it. It's for your good. It's for your good. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Funny, I mentioned that already. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That's just not a gentle request. A beseech is not just a, hey, guys, if you feel like listening right now. No, I beseech you is like, I'm serious. Pay attention. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to expect you to give Him control over every aspect of your life. It's not unreasonable for Him to expect that. Because we belong to Him, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So we need to act like it. And be not conformed to this world or this world's system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let the life that you live prove who it is that's in charge in your life, if I can say it that way. You'll know them by their fruits. Says that somewhere too, doesn't it? I didn't write it. I didn't say it. It's in the book. That word conformed in the Complete Word Study Bible Dictionary, it means to fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern outwardly. It also means an expanded rendering might read, stop being molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this age, but undergo a deep inner change. It's the Greek word for the word metamorphosis, by the qualitative renewing of your mind. The qualitative renewing of your mind. Wow. Measured by the quality of is what qualitative means. Such transformation can be wrought only by the Holy Spirit. You can't do it yourself. Think back to before you got the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name when you were doing things yourself. Can I use the word dumpster fire? Yeah, we were a dumpster fire. We were a mess. I was a mess. I'll speak for myself. I was messed up. But when God got a hold of my life, everything started changing. It didn't all change at once. But little by little, bit by bit, God started allowing me to lay stuff down. He didn't take anything away from me that I didn't willingly lay down and let Him have it. And He did it in stages and steps, little baby steps at first. And when He saw that I was being faithful, He knew that He could ask for more and ask for more. And does He ever stop asking us to lay some stuff down? Ever? Does He ever stop? Do we ever get to a point where we've just laid everything down and that's it? We can just sit back and wait for the bus to come to the bus stop. That's not how it works. Every day. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that all things. Everybody say all things. What's all things is everything. Everything that could, would, might, or possibly happen to you. Work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not yours, His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, I love that word foreknow, every person, because that's speaking about every individual on the earth that's ever been born. Because before He formed us in the womb, He knew us. So He knew every individual that's ever been an embryo inside of a mother before they were ever formed in the womb. He already knew them, whether they serve Him now or not. He knew them. So He foreknew us. And He also did predestinate us. He planned in advance. Not that He set aside and said, well, you're going to be saved. Remember in the military, they'd line you up and say, okay, first guy say one, the next guy say two. One, two, one, two, one, two, and then they'd split you off like that. That's not how it works. He didn't predestinate some to be saved and some not to be saved, as some might believe. That's not what He was saying here. He planned in advance for you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants everybody in this city, all 52,000 people. It's in God's plan for every one of them to be formed in the image of His Son. Are they? By choice? Probably. Some of them have heard the gospel. Maybe some haven't. But I guarantee you, just about every one of them's heard some form of this gospel, and they've made their decision. You've got to want to be conformed to His image. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Man, he wants to glorify His body, the church. Not so that we can take credit, but He wants to get us out there and use us for His glory and show us off to this world. Not so we can be a show off, but so He can show off, look at my servant Daniel, He said. I want Him to talk about me like that. I want to be so conformed to His image. I want to be so formed like that pot that I'm just whatever He says to do. I mean, Jesus didn't even take credit for anything that He did. Don't attribute that credit to me. It's to my Father. He's the one telling me to do it. Second Peter 3:10-18. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away in a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye, that you look for such things. Be diligent that ye be may be found in him, of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the longsuffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. It's all for your good. He's trying to get you to understand. He's trying to get us to understand. He wants us to be molded just like he's being molded. And he's writing these letters to the churches. He's writing the letters to the John wrote the letter for the book of Revelation so that the church would have something from God that says, you got this, keep going. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they fight against them, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Grow. We got to grow. It's a process. We're on the wheel. It's a process. He's still, to this very day, March 28, 2024, he's still trying to mold and make us into his image today. And tomorrow, if by the Lord's grace and mercy you get to wake up and have more breath in your body tomorrow, he's still working on you tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. Last scripture. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They look at us sometimes, and they don't understand why we live the way we live, why we do the things that we do. Why don't we do like everybody else? They don't understand us. Anybody say amen to that? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He's not done with us. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Oh, to be like him. To be molded and made into his image. It says right there that we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You can stand. Not with enticing words of men's wisdom. I hope that's not what you think. I'm just up here just being a vessel, saying what he told me to say. But I believe he's trying to tell us. He already talked to us this morning through the pastor, and I believe he's trying to tell us to keep doing what you're doing. Keep seeking after me. Because I believe that in the last days, he's going to take the church, just like Jesus walked out of that carpenter shop and locked the door for the last time and started his ministry. I believe that he's going to push the church out into the open one of these days in this time that we're living in. And everybody in this earth is going to know who we are. And so we need to be ready to be who they expect us to be, the church. Father, we love you today. Father, I'm so thankful for every voice in the name of Jesus that has been in this place, that has spoken an amen. I thank you for every voice that's lifted you up, Lord, and worshiped and magnify your name, Lord. You know who they are. You know who your servants are. You know who your children are. Father, I thank you for speaking to them today, Lord. It's not anything that I did, Lord. It's just me being used as your vessel, Lord. I pray that something that was said here today, Lord, has made it into the heart and soul and mind of some individual in this place that needed to hear it. Father, we need you. We need you to help us to be the church that you've intended us to be. Father, we thank you for all of your greatness and goodness and mercy in our life, Father. Help us to be the church. Help us to stay on the wheel and be molded and made into your image every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Did you want to?